Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Netflix. We are here in fabulous Las Vegas at the Dev Intersection Conference. We are talking to Scott Guthrie. Welcome, sir.
Thank you for having me.
So you are the Executive Vice President of the Enterprise and Cloud Group within Microsoft.
Yep.
That's a lot of stuff is in there. Azure, Visual Studio, .NET.
SQL Server, all this kind of stuff.
All that stuff. How on earth do you manage all of that?
Well, it keeps me busy, but, you know, the fun thing is, you know, it's the technology stack that, you know, that I've used for a long time, mm-hmm. And one that I'm very familiar with. And, you know, the exciting part is we're in a state where pretty much everything is dramatically advancing and getting new capabilities. So it's an exciting job because it's, you know, everything is sort of advancing so fast all at once. And, I think I've said it this morning after my keynote, it's an exciting time to be a developer.
Yeah.
It's the best time to be the developer. And, you know, I certainly feel that also building the products, because it's exciting to see.
So are you still heavily involved with the technical details of the various products?
So what he actually is asking is how many lines of code do you actually write on a day-to-day basis?
I'm still pretty hands-on and involved with the technical details of the products. Mm-hmm. I don't write production code as much really anymore, but I am very hands-on with the architecture and the code and the technical direction, and that for me is the fun part of the job.
Cool. And if we look at enterprises that we help, our customers that we work for, they're all looking at DevOps and moving towards a DevOps way of working. Can you tell us what Azure, for instance, can offer customers that want to do that? Are there particular features that you want to pick out of?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, there's definitely this broad trend that's happening, which is organizations that are moving to a more DevOps-based model. Mm-hmm. And DevOps, I think, is a broad term, mm-hmm. so everyone's definition of DevOps is slightly different.
Exactly.
But you know, I think you know consistently it means people want to be very agile and want to be able to release faster and have much faster iterations. And it definitely means that there's a much tighter partnership and or involvement of developers with the actual operations of the applications that are being built. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's lots of different nuances and slight differences, but. But those two things, I think, are broadly true. And what we're trying to do with Azure is make it really easy to enable both those things. Mm-hmm. And so the beauty of a cloud-based infrastructure is you can be super agile.
Yeah.
You can literally spin up infrastructure in seconds anywhere around the world. Mm-hmm. And you can create, I think, you know, effectively infrastructure as code so that you can actually check into your overall development pipeline everything that's necessary to spin up infrastructure,
exactly.
whether it's for staging, whether it's for test, whether it's for a new deployment, or whether it's running in operations, mm-hmm. and automate things at a level that just wasn't possible in an on-premises environment because you typically couldn't configure the network or couldn't configure your virtualization stack.
Yep.
Now you can. Mm-hmm. And then we've also built in a rich set of capabilities specifically around kind of the DevOps flow where you know, whether it's around CI, you know, source control management, CI/CD, mm-hmm. analytics, release management capabilities,
exactly. yeah.
you know, throughout the system. So you can use our built-in capabilities that we provide with Visual Studio Team Services and the core Azure stack.
Exactly, yeah.
But we've also made it pluggable. So if you want to use Jenkins or if you want to use, a different monitoring solution than us, you know, all of our APIs are very composable, mm-hmm. and we've got great partnerships with GitHub or Bitbucket or Splunk or Datadog or any of the other popular Chef Puppet.
So you can use the tools that you want to use, and it all works.
Yep. Yeah. And then we're trying to provide not just the openness and the flexibility, but then also the integration, mm-hmm. so that you can take advantage of things that kind of have been designed and tested together to get even kind of a tighter loop and a much faster cycle time and hopefully a much more enjoyable development and operations experience.
Yeah, we think so. We use it on a day-to-day basis. So we actually really
happily.
Like Azure. Yeah, happily.
So one thing I was wondering about, you mentioned analytics, and that's very important in DevOps scenarios. We've got Microsoft Operations Manager now, which supports insights, analytics, but we've also got application insights.
Yep.
So as a developer, how do I make a choice between what to use when?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think one of the things that we did is we created two analytics stacks, one for operations, one for applications. That was, one was focused more on IT operations, one that was focused more on developers. And I think, you know, when we started that 2 years ago, DevOps was definitely a concept, but it's, as DevOps has become more of a reality, you know, I think we're finding that both of them are converging. Yeah. The good news is they run in the same Azure portal experience.
Right.
They actually use the same underlying technology. And one of the things that we did recently at our Ignite conference last month is launch our new Azure Monitor Hub mm-hmm. inside our management portal, where they both now sit as equals inside that experience, so that you can basically use both in a completely integrated way.
Right.
And we do still see some people only want to look at some subset of the analytics, so we'll always make it possible so you can just buy, you know, infrastructure analytics or just buy the developer analytics if you just want that type of capability. But our goal is you have a completely integrated experience that allows you to kind of weave that together across both.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that's powerful, and I think a lot of people, even existing Azure customers, haven't fully discovered it yet, is you know, the ability to create dashboard views on your managed portal and flip between them. And so if you only have one dashboard when you log into the Azure portal today, I wouldn't say you're doing it wrong, but you're missing some stuff. Where go create a second dashboard and a third and a fourth. And, you know, that ability to have your sort of development dashboard, which you want to have kind of loads quick. Has all your services that you can quickly load with a single click is great. But then having a monitoring dashboard or a live site investigation dashboard that you can pull up, which gives you, you know, the 20 built-in reports that you can use to kind of pinpoint what's going on in your application and be able to quickly diagnose and or fix issues.
Yeah.
That ability to toggle immediately into that view, pinpoint a problem, and then use the new log search capabilities that are also now built into the Azure Monitor experience that we launched last month to kind of further fine-tune and figure out what the issue is and then be able to take action on it. That's part of the power, I think, that Azure now gives you.
And you can actually create different viewpoints on your application. What you're interested in, and then you create different dashboards. So that's very cool. Yeah.
And you're going to see even, it's sort of in private preview now, but you'll see a kind of richer public preview, maybe even by the time this is broadcast, is also rich alerting capabilities. So you can also, as you set up your dashboards and as you set up your analytics, you can also now set up automated rules, so we'll send you an SMS text or an email, or we can even broadcast it to a list that you provide of users, or fire off webhooks so that you can integrate them as part of your overall operations workflow as well. So if you're using PagerDuty or some of the other popular DevOps tools, you can easily integrate them, you know, in seconds with Azure. And kind of enable that end-to-end workflow in a really great way.
Yeah, and then you can also see that developers can also do this. So then you get actually that development teams are responsible for the application in production, and they can also get alerts when something goes wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. And the nice thing about Azure for our Azure Management API is we have rich role-based access control. And so what that means also is even if you're not, if you're an organization where you don't want to have developers to have IT operation control, you can still provide them with read access control. And so the ability to basically say the development team can actually see all the analytics, they can see the configuration, they can't modify it, but they can see it, you know, starts to enable you to weave together your dev and your operations teams in a much more integrated way. That, again, was very difficult on-premise, where either the developers didn't have the tools installed, or they weren't configured right, or from a security permissions perspective, it was just too hard to give access. Now, any developer can at least get read-only access to the production environment, and then you can choose to give them write access as well at a very fine granular level.
Very
cool. So moving on to open source, which is becoming very important for Microsoft. Can you talk about the kind of changes to the internal Microsoft organization, if any, which are needed to support this whole new open source Microsoft way of life?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've been on a journey the last probably 8 or 9 years where we're embracing open source in a deeper and deeper way. You know, it started off by just using some of the open source technologies inside our development stack, and now it's really broadened to be ones where not only are we using open source technologies, but we're building products on top of open source technologies, mm-hmm. and then we're contributing our code to be open source as well.
Yeah.
And so you think about, you know, our usage of Docker, both in Azure as well as in Windows Server 2016, is very deep and fundamental.
Yeah.
You think about .NET Core, which is now open source and where we actually support a distribution not only on Windows but Mac and Linux, is a place where we've taken technology we've built and open sourced it and now have thousands of people contributing pull requests through it. And you know, one stat that I kind of feel particularly proud of is Microsoft's now the number one, believe it or not, contributor to open source on GitHub, across GitHub, which is a massive change from where we were a decade ago. And you know, I think the thing that I've often tell people is the goal with all this is, A, how do we not reinvent good stuff? How do we enable you to use the best tool for the job, recognizing that different jobs have require different tools? And really, how do we embrace a much broader ecosystem that really enables you to use the best of the Windows and the best of the Linux ecosystem together?
Yeah.
And I think that makes that, that those are all great for developers, it's great for customers, and it's great for Microsoft.
Yeah, exactly. And do you have already see do you already see that traditionally non-Microsoft oriented companies or parties are they onboarding on Azure and are they using all this technology nowadays?
Yeah, I think we're certainly seeing that with Azure quite a bit, where you know, people that develop everything on a Mac, develop everything on Linux, don't use any Microsoft technology, can now run their entire business on top of Azure.
Exactly.
That's a big change. And, you know, again, going back to using the right tool for the right job, you know, one of the startups that was created on Azure was Jet.com, mm-hmm. which might maybe in Europe, maybe I don't think they operate yet.
I don't think so.
But they're sort of an e-commerce startup. They just got bought for $3 billion. So it's a,
okay.
you know, one it's of a these, small startup.
Yeah. It's one of these sort of unicorn success stories.
Yeah.
And you know, the way they built their system on Azure was very much that use the right tool for the right job. You know, they loved F-Sharp. They still love F-Sharp. And partly because they're a retail system and they use very, very real-time mm-hmm. Pricing calculations that is a key part of the product. And if you talk to the team, they'll just say F-Sharp is the absolute best way mm-hmm. to do functional programming and to build those types of real-time analytics systems.
Yeah.
You know, they use C-Sharp and ASP.NET for a lot of their middle tier.
Yeah.
They develop a lot of the front end using Node.js and Angular. And they run that using our app service, using our new Linux option with that.
Yeah.
You know, they use NoSQL, and they use multiple NoSQL options. So they use SQL DB, they use DocDB, but they also use Cassandra. And that ability for them to use Java, .NET, mm-hmm. Python, Node, F-Sharp, be able to use Windows and Linux, be able to use any data stack,
that's what the strength is.
And be able to have that agile DevOps model where they're 100% in the cloud and they're doing, you know, they average sort of 500 deployments per day mm-hmm. of their system. You know, that's fun.
That's fun.
And that's, you know, that's exciting that we can enable that in a great way with Azure.
And we all, when we talk to each other about being in Microsoft or .NET developer these days, is that we get more and more choices every day. So that's, I think it's really great. It also has a downside sometimes because you have to choose. But I think it's fun, and it's as you said, it's a very fun time to be a developer.
Yeah, definitely.
And you'll see even in the next month a lot more capabilities, in particular for open source on Azure, come out. There's our new Azure command line or CLI mm-hmm. That we've been working on that really has a whole bunch of great capabilities, and it really integrates in a very deep native way inside Bash shells on Mac or Linux or Windows systems. You'll see our new management APIs just came out, a new SDK. So you can still use the existing SDK, but this kind of provides a nice fluent API. So if you're coming from a Java background or a .NET background, you know, what used to be hundreds of lines of code to configure and manage resources, you can do in like 8 lines, and it's all strongly typed with IntelliSense in a very, very beautiful way.
Nice.
And you're going to see a bunch more services, in particular around containers and Docker, come out over the next couple of weeks that you can take advantage of. And you know, even the new capabilities that we've announced with SQL on Linux, you know, there's some cool demos you'll see us show in November that I'm pretty excited about, where you know, anyone, even someone who doesn't have Windows, you know, can basically get SQL on Linux running on their machine in a Docker container in like seconds and do development.
Nice. Cool.
And again, be able to use any language as part of it. And so it's again, it gives you that flexibility in that ecosystem. And then specifically for .NET developers, you know, the investment we're making around .NET Core, around Xamarin, around Visual Studio, you know, I think really are taking .NET to the next level.
Exactly.
And it's been exciting to see this year our .NET user base is growing dramatically,
mm-hmm.
again, in a way that it hasn't for the last couple years, because you know we've got millions of developers. We kind of saturated the Windows development market.
Yeah.
But about 40% of the developers that are using .NET Core now have never used .NET before.
Yeah,
and so we're reaching whole new audiences, including people that are running it on Linux and running it on Macs and other systems.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, great for everyone, because it just makes the ecosystem and the .NET base
richer,
even more valuable, more richer, and more fun.
Yeah. Cool, yeah, we love it.
So great time to be a developer.
Yeah.
Lots of cool things happening. The show you mentioned, I think that's Connect. In November.
Yeah, so I'm at Dev Intersections right now, so we showed off a bunch of stuff. But then, yeah, you'll see a bunch of additional announcements and great demos coming up. And the Connect event in middle of November, I think it's the 13th or 12th of November. It's definitely one worth watching.
Okay.
And you'll see lots of great announcements and new capabilities.
Cool.
And, yeah, I think a lot of stuff for developers that'll get people pretty excited. Yeah.
So we've got that to look forward to.
Yeah.
So thank you very much, Scott, for your valuable time. It's been a great pleasure to talk to you. I hope you've enjoyed it too. Hopefully see you at the next episode of the Netflix. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.